Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Welcome to another edition of GVN Interview, your home for conversations with some of the best in film, television, media, and literature. On today's show, we welcome television and film producer, director, and writer, Brian Volkweiss. Brian is the executive producer for the Nacelleverse animated series RoboForce. Now here's your host, Martin Sexton.
Welcome to another edition of GVN Interview. I am your host, Martin, and on today's show, we are pleased to talk with producer, director, writer, Brian Volkweiss. Brian has been working in television and film for well over 20 years with a resume that, quite frankly, is too lengthy to even attempt to list here. But recently, Brian and Nacelle have brought back RoboForce to animation as a part of the Nacelleverse, an interconnected series of unique properties, with RoboForce being the first. So let's welcome the multi-talented Brian Volkweiss to GVN Interview. So how you doing this morning, Brian?
I'm good, Martin. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Okay, so like I said, since this is the first chance I've had an opportunity to talk to you, hopefully not the last, but I want to start with a little bit of your creative beginnings. Okay, so you were raised in Queens, New York, kind of like Tom Holland's Spider-Man, but I assume you avoided the radioactive spider thing. How did a young man who came from a family of dentists and lawyers decide that entertainment was your calling, and whose work inspired that desire?
I mean, it was Star Wars and all George Lucas. I think I had 2 or 3 years of per my mother wanting to be a limousine driver. Other than that, the only other thing I ever wanted to do, and it's interesting, it did change twice. I thought the thing about George Lucas that I wanted to emulate was his directing. So all through high school, all through college, that's what I wanted to do, was be a director. Then I got out to Hollywood, and even though I don't have a credit on the movie, which drives me insane, I worked on Castaway, the Tom Hanks movie. I was a production assistant in the, by the way, no greater sense of irony, in the wardrobe department. And there's no one alive who cares less about clothing than I do. So I worked on Castaway, and I was watching Robert Zemeckis, and It was really interesting, because what I realized was watching him direct, and I had worked with for his company on something before that. That's how I had ended up on Castaway. And I basically realized what I loved about George Lucas wasn't as much his directing. It really was about the fact that he had created this studio from scratch, you know, Lucasfilm, and watching Zemeckis direct, I'm like, that's not for me. I want to build a company. So I built the company, and then basically, just because the company was built, and I didn't really have to work to book gigs, I could just give them to myself. Which did a lot of things, by the way. It increased efficiency, and it also saved a lot of money. And luckily, the stuff that I was making, people seemed to like. If they didn't like it, I probably would have stopped after Toys That Made Us. But that's really what it was. It was Star Wars and George Lucas.
Yeah, so you had mentioned, of course, you went to the University of Iowa, and you moved to Los Angeles. So when you made the move to Los Angeles, did you have an opportunity that you were chasing at that time, or did you just want to get where movies are being made or whatever, and that's where you wanted to be?
That was it. I had no plan other than I wanted a career in show business. I got to LA on, and again, I'm going to tell you this is going to sound like such bullshit, but I swear to you it's true. I got here on July 1st, 1998, and I got to my apartment, dropped my stuff off, and then I drove to this really famous bookstore called French's Books, and I still have it. I bought a Hollywood Reporter. It was blind luck that it was Tuesday, because Tuesday was like the double fat edition of the Hollywood Reporter, and the reason why it was twice the size it normally was because it had all the job opportunities in it. So I literally cut out every single possible job with a pair of scissors. I taped it to my bedroom wall, every single possible job I was interested in. It's probably about 3 or 4 dozen jobs. And I just started calling people and getting work. I worked for free for probably the first 8 months I got to LA. I was almost out of cash. And if anybody who looks at what I've done and is like, wow, Brian, that's cool, that's impressive, 100% of it came from reading and those job opportunities from the Hollywood Reporter. A led to B, led to C, led to D, and here we are.
Okay. So if you had to pinpoint, because you mentioned Castaway, what would you say was perhaps maybe the big break or opportunity that, other than reading the Hollywood Reporter, that kind of told you that you were doing the job that you should be doing?
So the big break was, I was a manager for 10 years. So basically, from 2003 to 2012, I was a manager, and all I represented was comedians. And one of the comedians that I worked with, that when I started working with him, couldn't sell 1,000 tickets, maybe couldn't even sell 500 tickets. Within a year and a half, was selling 10 to 20,000 tickets a night. So to be in your late 20s and have, I basically was representing the biggest comedian in 30 years. He was the biggest comedian since Steve Martin, biggest comedian since Dice Clay. And the money that came in from those commissions, I used to make stand-up specials. I financed them myself and built a library of stand-up specials, which now, I mean, I've produced and directed over 300 stand-up specials, but we've acquired a lot of libraries too. And the money that came from producing those specials and distributing those specials allowed us to get into doing the exact same thing with documentaries. So almost all the documentaries we do, from Toys to That Made Us to Icons Unearthed, you name it, other than the stuff we do with Disney, we own all of it. Like, we don't license, we don't sell, we just license. And the latest thing as a part of that whole process is RoboForce and Biker Mice from Mars, which we are also self-financing and licensing.
Excellent. Okay, so you had mentioned, okay, you founded New Wave Dynamics in 2008, which eventually morphed into Comedy Dynamics. As you were making these different transitions, did you have any apprehension that maybe, about the challenges you were taking on as you did each of those?
I am the greatest example in human history of ignorance is bliss.
Right behind me.
If I had any idea what was coming, I don't know if I would have done any of it. I mean, it was really, really, really hard. I lost a lot of money, wasted a lot of money, made a million mistakes every step of the way until, even with RoboForce, which was our first toy. And our first cartoon, it's our first scripted show as well that we financed, even though it's animated. We made a million billion mistakes. We have Biker Mice in production right now, and we're already learning from the mistakes on RoboForce on Biker Mice. So, the first stand-up special we ever did, It was three guys running five cameras. That was literally the entire crew. We rented a smoke machine from a party store. I mean, it's a piece of garbage. It looks like crap. But we learned so much from that experience that the next special we did looked 80% better. And the one after that was 100% better, so on and so on. So, yeah, there's been a real steep learning curve, my friend.
Okay, I mean, so like I said, you've been doing this quite a while. Do you still find that you're learning new things as you go on?
Every day, every day, today, yesterday, every day.
Well, that's
Cartoons
actually
are
good.
hard, man. Cartoons are hard. And we have our first scripted show, live action scripted show being written now. So that's going to be the next thing. So my guess is, if I'm being honest, my guess is in 5 or 6 years, the learning curve is going to start to go away. But it has been 26, in July, it'll be 27 years of nonstop learning curve.
Okay, so now before we get into the excitement that is Roboforce, because I'm a comic guy, I would be remiss if I didn't ask about Aliens What If, the five
Yes.
issue comic series by Marvel, written by Paul Leon Reiser, Adam F. Goldberg, who actually I've talked to previously about other comics, Hans Rodionoff, and some guy named Brian Volk Weiss. How did that project come about, and was that your first foray into comics?
Technically, it was our second because we have a deal with Oni Press, and they've been putting out all the Nacelleverse comic books. So the first, so what we call Nacelleverse Zero, my inspiration for that, by the way, was Aliens vs. Predator Zero. So that was technically our first comic, and it came out, I think, 3 days before Alien, what I call Burke. So to have gone from having no connection to comic books whatsoever, to having two come out in the same week, 48 years later, it was pretty interesting. Came out of the craziest thing ever. I know Adam F. Goldberg for a while. We've done business together, we're friends. And one day we were on the phone talking about a pilot that we were doing together for Vice.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
At Ritual, Mother's Day is kind of a big deal, and we're celebrating accordingly. Find your ritual. If mom needs a bit of stress relief, digestive support, or is looking to support glowy, smooth skin, do it today with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
And at the end of the Zoom, he goes, "Oh, hey, by the way, Brian, I don't know if you know this or not, but I tend to do comic books every now and then." And he said he had a quarterly call with Marvel, like to just talk about what they were going to do or what they were doing or whatever. So he says to me, "We just had our quarterly call with Marvel yesterday, and they said they're really, really focused on using Fox IP in the Marvel universe." So he goes, "If you have any ideas for a Marvel comic based on Fox IP, let me know." And I go, "Dude, I got it right now. Right now. Don't even have to think." Because I had had this idea since like college. And he goes, "All right, all right, all right. What's your idea? What's your big idea?" I go, "Four words. You ready?" He's like, "Yeah." I go, "What if Burke lived?" Crickets for like 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds. He goes, "That's great. I'm going to call Marvel right now." I go, "Okay, cool." Now, as I'm sure you know, in Hollywood, 99.9999999% of the time when you hear something like that, it's bullshit. 50% of the time, you never hear about it again, yada, yada. Adam called me back less than 2 hours later, and he said Marvel greenlit it on the spot. So that's how that happened. And I always want to be very open about this. Other than suggesting quotes from aliens, I had, and having the idea for the whole thing, which I came up with 30 years ago, I had absolutely nothing to do with the writing. It was primarily Leon Reiser and Hans. And I would say they did at least 80 to 85% of the writing. And Adam and Paul Reiser just gave really brilliant notes. But I just always like to be very clear, because I do write, that I never want to get credit for anything I didn't do. So if you read anything in that comic that's a quote or sounds like it is similar to a quote or an Easter egg, that was probably me. But other than that, the story, the characters, the father, daughter, everything, that was everybody but me.
But you got a credit for it, so it worked out. excellent.
Thanks to Adam. Yeah, Adam really, it's funny you say that, because I was actually pretty uncomfortable about taking a writing credit. And Adam basically convinced me, I was giving notes and whatever, so I went along with it. But like I said, there's no bigger insult to me than somebody saying you're taking credit for their work. So I just like to be very, very vocal that 99.9% of what you read, I did not write. A weird thing to brag about, but it is true.
Well, I appreciate that. Okay, so let's discuss RoboForce, the first season of the Nacelleverse, an interconnected, as I said, an interconnected universe of animated shows. So after watching the trailer, because I'm a kid from the late 60s, early 70s, so I felt immediate a nostalgic Saturday morning cartoon vibe from it, which, I was a kid, I lived for Saturday mornings. Even the show's theme song to me kind of gave me that vibe, which I thought actually the theme song was quite cool. So, was it the idea for the thing to also convey that Saturday morning energy?
So first of all, I'm glad that I spent a minute telling you that I didn't write the Aliens comic book, because now I can brag to you that I wrote the lyrics to that song. So Matt Marginson wrote the music, but I wrote that song, the lyrics. But it was as deliberate as it gets. We call it neo-nostalgia. I'll be very honest with you. I have no idea if I created that term or not. So if I created it, yay. If I didn't create it, I copied someone else. Whoever that is, thank you for coming up with it. But we wanted this. I wanted very modern storytelling with a vintage vibe. And I believe, based on all the comments I've read, it's the best reviewed anything I've done in my career. It may be tied with Toys That Made Us. But... 95% of the comments and reviews, IMDb, I think we're still in the nines, and the show's been out over a week. So yes, very, our whole tagline for the series is Saturday morning cartoons are back.
Well, so it definitely gave that vibe to me. And of course, you're talking about theme songs. Of course, I'm still a big fan of the old Scooby-Doo theme. I still think it was one of the coolest songs ever. So were you, as far as targeting goes, were you kind of targeting, people like me more that, live the Saturday morning cartoon thing, as well as the youth demographic of today?
We went for the fences. And we tried to do something incredibly difficult. It's what I like to call a short runway. It was very risky. And to be completely honest with you, we worked on this for 3 years, spent millions and millions and millions of dollars. And I really only figured out maybe yesterday, could be the day before, that it seemed to be working. We wanted everybody. I wanted 4-year-olds and I wanted 75-year-olds. And the way we did that was we made the show look in a way that would be appealing to 5-year-olds, but the story should work for 70-year-olds, but not put off 5-year-olds. It's a very adult story. I mean, it's all about redemption. I would say the closest comp is Mad Max Fury Road. It's just not as violent by any means. There's almost no violence. There's a lot of pew, pew, pew. Don't get me wrong. I think we could get a Guinness Book of World Records for the most lasers fired in a single cartoon. But it is a very mature theme that, you know, listen, this might be a weird thing to say, but if you watch the episode in the pilot, if you're a 5-year-old, the star of the show, Max 89, is like really sad, and he's just really sad in the bathroom talking to his creator, Soraya. If you're 25 or 35 or 45 or 75, you'll realize Max is basically talking about suicide. And so it won't affect the 5-year-old because we handle it in a very, very subtle, kind of silly way. But if you're older and you really listen to what he's saying, because he doesn't say, I want to kill myself. He says he wants his memory wiped. Right. So we did stuff like that. So if you're a 5-year-old, you say to your mom and dad, hey, what's a memory wipe? You don't say, hey, what's suicide? But if you're 45 or 55 or whatever, and anybody who's had a bad day or a bad month or a bad year can really relate to what the show's about. The show is all about redemption, just like Fury Road. The show is all about like living up to your potential. All the characters in RoboForce, from RoboForce, are losers. They were designed to be the best. They were supposed to be the heroes of humanity, and they got overshadowed on the day they were announced. And our show takes place after 15 years of just having miserable lives. And the product, which we call the Utopia Aegis 101 line, they were so successful, they destroyed RoboForce. But then 15 years later, I hope you're sitting down, this will surprise you, they malfunction and nobody can stop them except, can you guess?
RoboForce.
Yes, you guessed, that's right. So it's a universal theme. I guarantee you, Steve Jobs, the day he was dying, felt he didn't live up to his potential. Everybody can relate to that.
Okay, so you were partnering with Danny Garcia and Dwayne Johnson, 7 Bucks Productions, on the show. So how did that partnership come about? And did Dwayne or Danny have any kind of input on the show at all? Or does it mainly where did they just, you know, put their money where their mouth is, so to speak?
So we do a show for Disney Plus called Behind the Attraction. And Dwayne and 7 Bucks, Danny, they're all a part of that show. So when we announced that we were producing RoboForce, the series, and we were, you know, the scripts were already written and everything, and we had just started doing the animation. So that's the point in time where they got involved. But, you know, the cool thing about animation is, you know, you can really tweak quite a bit. People think you can't, but you can. And they gave phenomenal script notes and were very, very involved. I also got to give credit to Brian Gewirtz and Hiram Garcia. You know, Hiram in particular, who's Dwayne and Danny's partner. Hiram was a big RoboForce fan when he was a kid. So when he saw the headline, he was like, oh, wow, this is great. And then, you know, for the second time, I might add, because Dwayne had seen the toys that made us and wanted to work with us. So that's what led to Behind the Attraction. So I can truthfully say for the second time, I got an incoming call from Dwayne and his company.
All right. So I want to thank you again for talking to me today, Brian. But before we go, please remind our listeners about RoboForce and where they can go to watch.
RoboForce is on Tubi. All six episodes are streaming now. And I am legally required to, anytime I say the word Tubi, I am legally required to add, it's free.
Okay, base is covered. You're good.
Yeah, I won't get sued this week. Woo!
All right. Well, thank you again, Brian. And we will be following RoboForce and the entire Nacelleverse closely. And hope to maybe connect again with you in the future.
I love that very much.
All right. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Martin. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this edition of GVN Interview, your home for conversations with some of the best in film, television, media, and literature. GVN Interview is a production of Geek Vibes Nation.
At Ritual, Mother's Day is kind of a big deal, and we're celebrating accordingly. Find your ritual. If mom needs a bit of stress relief, digestive support, or is looking to support glowy, smooth skin, do it today with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.